Sit. Sit. No, I'm just kidding. Sit. Grow. Walk. Those three words that I talked about last week, those are all verbs. We are all called to move forward. We're all called to grow. We're all called to, there's times we're going to sit, there's times we're going to walk, there's times when we have to grow and should be growing as a person, for me, for you, and for us as a church. Though there are times when we aren't able to move, we need to sit. There's times in our life, whether it's mental health, whether it's physical health, whether it's something going on in our world where we have to sit for a bit. And that's okay to sit for a while. We need a word that will comfort us when we need to sit. Sometimes then we can walk forward, maybe only 3 miles per hour, as we talked about last week. And maybe we can run, but we need a word that can carry us forward. And sometimes we really want to grab hold of something for God, do something for Him, something, but we'll need some courage. And we need a word that will give us strength. And sometimes we need a word that will correct us, to pull us back into obedience, out of disobedience, out of the darkness, into the light. Go with me to John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, jump into John chapter 15. Verse 5. And I'm reading out the New Living Translation. Jesus is saying, "Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me," Jesus is saying. "Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments, and remain in his love." This word, remain, is mentioned many times, has many synonyms, similar words. And I want to show you the biblical definition of remain. Not a Webster's, not a Cambridge dictionary. But the definitions or the synonyms to this word are to stay, remain, live, dwell, abide, to be in a state that begins and continues, yet may or may not even stop, to continue, to endure, to be, to belong. You see how it's rich. I love that word. It's a rich definition of all that word means. To stay, to remain, to live, to dwell, to abide, to be in a state that begins and continues, yet may or may not end or stop. Continues, endures, to be, to belong. We as a leadership team have come to appreciate a word that describes us and where we are going. And so we offer this name to us as a gathering, the name Abide Church. So I want to pause for a little bit and let that sit there. Now, I know some of you are aware of the name. It's nothing necessarily new to some of you because we've been testing it and trying it out. But that's the name that we're offering to us as the church. Now, I know I've also heard that, well, this word, abide by the law. Let's be a law-abiding citizen. Well, that's a good phrase, because I want to be a law-abiding citizen, right? Like, to stay within. And the definition to add to that, to abide in Christ, is to follow His example of a life obedient. There is an obedience to abiding with Christ. So let's go back to John chapter 15. And let me place the word abide into this passage. I'm going to start at verse 4. Abide in me, and I will abide in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be faithful unless you abide in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them will produce much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not abide in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. And when you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. And when you obey my commandments, you abide in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and abide in His love. Verse 11. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with joy. We invite you to seriously consider this name, to pray about it, to think about it. We will have maybe various different responses, some immediate buy-in, some, oh, I need to think about this and wrap your head around, maybe you want to do some research on it, whatever you want to do. And maybe some of us really don't care about the name. I've heard that too, and that's totally fine. But that's all okay. I invite each of us to pray about it, talk about it, and certainly we want to hear as a leadership team, we want to hear what your thoughts are about this name. We want to hear from you, and let's talk about it and share about it. So let's pray together. I'm going to ask you to stand, and then Ryan's going to come up. He can come up right away. Just a couple of songs and then I'm going to get into Ascension Day. But let's pray about this. This is, I think, a big deal for our church. Father in heaven, we thank you for this church. I love this church. You love this church. You have gathered us together. And so, Lord Jesus, as our functional Lord, as our active Lord of this church, continue to lead us into all that you have for us. And Lord Jesus, we pray that you will help us to abide in you. You're calling us into relationship because you love us. And you invite us to sit with you. You invite us to walk with you. And you invite us to grow with you. So lead us forward, we pray. In your name, Jesus. Thanks, Brian. Jesus Christ is worthy of all our worship. Ascension. This is one of those things that is actually more important than we realize. Jesus Christ was born. He lived. He died. And then he rose from the dead. And that's usually where we stop it. But unless he ascended, unless he actually left earth and went into heaven, all of this actually doesn't work, because he would still be around on the earth. But because he's ascended, that's huge. I want to encourage us just with one thing this morning about his ascension. And the ascension of Jesus gives us courage. It gives us courage. Let's go to 2 Peter, which I'm working on over these next few weeks. I'm going to mark it here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. I talked about this last week. Let me introduce it this way. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 11. Then God will give you... let me go into the verse before. So, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove, there's hard work, to prove that you are really among those God has called and chosen. Do these things that you will not fall away. I hope and pray that every one of us gathered here this morning, I will see you in heaven. Every single one of us. None of us to fall away. And then Peter says, then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. A grand entrance. A grand entrance. The NIV talks about a rich welcome. That'll be a homecoming unbelievable, incredible. We're not going to go in a back door or a side door or just kind of walk in and go, oh, I wonder who's all here. It's going to be a grand entrance. And Jesus will return in his triumphal arrival when he returns to the earth. So going to, I'm losing my tabs here. What's going on here? 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 15. We tell you this directly from the Lord. It's not on the PowerPoint. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have already died. For the Lord will come down, the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, and the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God. It will be a triumphal entry that will wake up the whole world, and they will all see him return. That triumphal return. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth, will be caught up in the clouds to meet him, and then we'll be with them forever. We will have that grand entrance. He will come down and then we'll have that grand entrance into heaven. Here's a question. Which Jesus will it be? Think this through here. The book of Revelation chapter 1 gives an amazing picture of Jesus in white. And shining white hair and a robe and eyes of fire and a sword coming out of his mouth and a sash. Like, that picture is incredible. And John, when he saw me, fell to the ground. He was mesmerized. He was afraid. He was just overcome. However, in the book of Acts, when it describes Jesus ascending, He ascended in what form? Human. Interesting. He didn't transfigure. He didn't change in anything. The disciples saw him just rise up in a human form. It was physical. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 2, chapter 2, verse 5. And it says, the Apostle Paul writes, there is one God, one mediator, who can reconcile God and humanity, the man, Jesus Christ. Now, think about this. This is crucial to understand who Jesus is, because there's all kinds of opinions. There's God and there's man. Holy God, sinful man. And the only one that could bring the two together was Jesus Christ, who was fully God and fully man. He was the only one that could actually pull the two together to have a relationship. Go to John chapter 1, verse 14. John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word, that's Jesus, so the Word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Now, understand that. He was human. And yet we saw, they said we saw a glory. How do you see that in one person? I don't know. But he was man and he was glory. Like what a blend. What a person. I don't even know how to describe that. And so when we look at Revelation and we see this glorious picture of this man in the white robe and the sword and the sash and the eyes and the brilliant hair, and then we see the human. How does that work? I don't know. But it does. Because. I can't explain it. John chapter 14, verse 3. I love this verse that he says. John chapter 14, verse 3. When everything is ready, so he's going to go to heaven. When everything is ready, this is what he says, I will come and get you. When everything is ready. So he's ascended. He's in heaven. He's building your mansion, it talks about here. He's getting heaven ready. And when it's ready, I'm going to come and get you. Why? Why? Next phrase. So that you will always be with me where I am. That rich welcome, that grand entrance, he wants us with him in heaven for all of eternity. And if he didn't ascend, then he couldn't bring us there. And if he didn't ascend, he couldn't come and get us and bring us there. Go to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm going to mess with your mind a little bit. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You've heard that verse before. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So, is he human? Or is he this picture in Revelation? But today, he's writing, he was human. But He was human back here. But he's also this picture, this image of glorious Lord. Like, how can that be? What's the answer? I don't know. But it's true. There is a theology out there which I would agree with, that talks about, I think it's typology is the right word, where it talks about how Jesus in human form actually shows up in the Old Testament. Remember the time when three men came to visit Abraham and he's going to talk about destroying Sodom and Gomorrah. Two of them went in. One stayed with Abraham. And there were many theologians that believed that it was actually Jesus in human form that stayed with Abraham. And there's a number of other instances in the Old Testament. Hebrews talks about Jesus leading the Israelites out of Egypt. I can't fathom that. My mind is too small. Yes, it is, Tim, your mind. No, our mind is too small to grasp that. And then I was reading an article by Dr. David Gorecki, who's the president of the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada, and a brilliant mind. And he says this. He says, we will see him with his scarred hands and feet and a wounded side. He says, interesting that Jesus would choose to wear and to keep the wounds from earth for all of eternity. When he returns, we will see the scars on his hands and feet and the wound in the side. He is reminding us that he understands what it's like to be human. As if Jesus needs it, he understands. It is a constant reminder of what it's like to be human. Jesus, having lived as a human, gives us then courage to live as a human. We sometimes say, feel or think, God's up there and I'm down here. But Jesus is up there as a human. He understands, he's got the scars, and yet he's God. And he's there for us. He ascended in a human body in Acts chapter 1. He sits on the throne as a human. But isn't he also the powerful warrior king, but also human? Yes. He is all of that and more. The birth of Jesus. The life of Jesus. The death of Jesus. The resurrection of Jesus. And the ascension. Let's never forget the ascension of Jesus. When we talk about Jesus and his life, we have to include all five of those. Jesus ascended to show us the way to heaven. And he will come and get us either in his triumphal entry or when he brings us home at our death. There is a grand entrance, a rich welcome waiting us. So with Jesus, as we sit with him, walk with him, grow with him, as we abide with him, we have the incredible sure hope that assures us, assures us of courage, gives us courage. Because he lives, we can face tomorrow. Because he lives, we can face today. because he is risen and ascended, he's God's. And he's there for us. Let's stand together. Ryan, come on up. Please. Lord Jesus, our worship, as much as we try, can't even in some ways touch you, but we offer our worship. You are the ascended Christ. You have risen from the dead, defeated sin and death, darkness and evil. You rose from the dead, but you are ascended, and you are Lord over all. You sit on the throne. You understand us. You get us, and you pray for us. You intercede for us. So, by the power of the Holy Spirit, give us courage. Give us strength. Empower us and fill us to lead the follower. Jesus, teach us.